right. Luna. Let's get this road on the show. I've got English snacks to eat, and I can't be bothered waiting around for us to... I got... hold on. Welcome to AEW back. AEW back?
Wow.
Well, okay. That's what we call it across the pond. As I'm sorry if my British accent is too thick, because I just spent a week there. January 3rd, 2024.
Wow.
It's too much.
Too much. Yeah, I did go. I came back. I ate a bunch of snacks there. Mm-hmm. Some things that I've seen on Great British Bake Off, and have like a Bakewell tart, and what are the Battenbergs?
Yeah,
and hobnobs. And
and Turkish delights, surely.
Oh, tea cakes. No Turkish delights. I think everybody in the country has the good sense to realize that if a tourist stumbles across Turkish delights, that would just be the end of it. They wouldn't be able to take the entire country seriously ever again.
Why? Do you not like Turkish delight?
Nobody does, Teresa. Nobody. What? Nobody. Look. I don't want to. Nope. Nope,
they
I do not want to hear you.
They are good, but the problem with...
Is they're bad.
No, I understand. The problem is Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, because when you read that book, you think Turkish Delight must be the most delicious thing in the world. It must be the most amazing candy on earth. And then when you have it as a kid, you're disappointed. It's just dates, right? You're like, this is just dates. It's nothing special. And that's the thing. It's nothing special, but it's still yummy. See, the problem is your expectation was all wrong.
Well, I feel like the expectations for like British candy is sky high, because everything I ever read like made off that Britain had the most incredible candy bars and things like that ever.
I haven't eaten them all, but I have tried a few, and some things like the chocolate is just better because they use more cocoa and less filler. There's these things called tea cakes, which are bomb diggity.
Tea cakes are good.
These hobnobs are basically like an oat cookie, which, you know, you could probably take or leave in under normal circumstances, but they're like dipped in chocolate, and boom, just knocks that one out of the park. There's a
was never that into most, like, my ex from a long time ago from England, and he, like, I took him to this British store. There's like a store in Santa Monica that had all kinds of stuff, like all these snacks and treats and whatever from England, so he could go crazy, and he did. was all excited, and then he's like, eat this. This is the best. And I didn't like it. It was flake. Did you try flake?
Oh, flake. No, although I had I'd seen in many places something called ice cream in a flake, and I tried to figure out what the fuck it was. And eventually I figured out, like, oh, yeah, it's just like candy. Just like throw it on ice cream.
Yes, but it's a certain type of chocolate that is like aerated.
Yes.
So that it's like all... whole air holes within the chocolate bar, so it basically kind of crumbles in your mouth, like flakes apart in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I did not like it. I did not care for it, and he couldn't believe it. And I'm like, it's not great.
You are
like, what?
You know what? No, it's Turkish delight. It's your version of Turkish delight, which you say is terrible, but in fact is just like not good. Like nobody. Like, why would you do that to chocolate? It's still chocolate. It just is kind of.
I don't want it to be like just like a light smacking of chocolate. I want the chocolate to be chocolate.
Goddamn chocolate. Yeah. Yes.
Anyways.
Yeah. So I still have a bunch of things, because we went to the store and just like.
Loaded up.
Well, okay. I mean me. Okay. One of those. And because it's like 70 cents for like a pack of cream biscuits, I'm like, yeah, I'll just get one of these and I'll get two of these.
Because if you
and
get just, them in like, America, they're going to be like $10.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, that's the thing is all of these things are just like shit you would find in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. Just cheap shit, you know? I was surprised because it's like a bag of those things is like cheaper than Oreos. And honestly, like without all the hydrogenated oils and shit, some of those are pretty good, better. Pretty good. Yeah. But also just like, what do you call it? Lowbrow, super lowbrow.
But okay. Nothing against hydrogenated oil, though.
Oh, a lot of things against hydrogenated oil. I will stand by that one.
That's a very singular opinion, Chan. Look, I don't think anyone would agree with you.
I don't. I live next to an Erewhon, so you know I've learned some things from the goop generation.
You have absorbed these theories via osmosis. Yes.
I assume you're the jade egg in my vagina.
Yeah, you're well stocked on vagina candles. I assume
plenty.
They sell them here. Goop,
the Girl Scouts sell them here.
Not from Goop though, from the Hustler store, correct?
What?
Is this still on Sunset?
I don't know. As far as I know.
I haven't driven in that area in like a while, so I've...
Yeah, I think it is.
You say that like you don't know. You say that like that's not where you go when you need your fix of like some dirty movies.
No, I go to the porn theater like respectable gentlemen.
I think so. oh my god, that's another funny thing is that when my ex from England from a long time ago, we were driving in the car and we're getting on the 101 off of Lancashire, and there's that Vivid Entertainment studio right there, right? Yeah. And he's like, Vivid Entertainment. And I was like, how do you know what that is? And he just fucking froze. His eyes got super big and his face immediately was beet red. I started laughing. I was like, I'm kidding. I know what it is too. Just give me a shit.
Excellent.
That's pretty funny though. He's like, my favorite producers of porn.
Yeah, if he starts rattling off like actual names of producers, though, you should probably have some concerns.
I don't know if I should tell this story.
Oh, well, now you have to.
Yeah, I'm eager now.
Okay, so I had a friend who, I don't know what he did. He was like some assistant director or some shit like this. And he would just like pick up odd jobs, and he's worked on all kinds of shit. He did a lot of production on so many random reality shows in the early 2000s. And at the time, something was going on where there wasn't a lot of work. And one of his friends was a porn director, but worked for Cinemax. So it was like porn, classy, but like porn. Fake porn. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. So they needed extras for like
You set this. Set this up like, oh, he's a director, and so he's probably, you know, like adding some you know slightly prurient things to his CV. No big deal. And then you started with extras for softcore.
No. But before all the scenes aren't the sex scenes, right? There's like, they're at a restaurant. They're at a yoga studio. You know, because it's a movie, right? So like, because it's a Cinemax thing, it's like a movie that has like plot and other things. So it's not
plot is really stretching the definition of the term.
Of course it is, but it still has like locations and, you know, it's not just... this is happening in this moment, whatever. There's no rhyme or reason for it. It's like a fucking movie. Yeah.
Yes, it's a fucking movie. That's what porn is.
Oh my God, no. A Cinemax one is a movie that has these like weird scenes in there, but like they make an actual movie with like a script, which is stupid. Yes.
I love that we have gotten Teresa to mansplain what a softcore Cinemax.
I'm just trying to explain that he needed to get some extras. So me and his wife and some other people.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you were an extra in this.
Yeah.
I thought that you were just leading up to like, this is how the guy eventually worked his way into like.
No,
gay
see,
porn
this is,
or whatever like that.
This is the problem with
you
men interrupting
are the one
women.
Who worked your way into.
This is the problem with men interrupting women, is we could have been done with that point, but you insisted on interrupting before
Teresa,
I even got to the point.
That's sure. what a podcast is. It's 30 minutes of talking that could have been handled in four.
Yeah, well, anyway. So, yeah, I am not featured. My name is not listed. You do not see me, but it is like just people in a room, you know, in like the room next door or whatever, just to make it seem like it's a actual restaurant or an actual business. You know what I mean? That's just dumb.
I do know.
So yeah.
This feels like your roundabout way of letting us know that you've been a fluffer in the San Fernando Valley.
Wow.
No.
Not in the San Fernando Valley.
They have a totally different union out there. So,
of my own life, yes. Of my own need to like get by in the world, yes. I fluff my attitude every morning. Because I need help sometimes. I can't do it alone. Can't do it on my own. So I need to fluff myself to make sure I have enough vim and vigor to get through the day.
This is a Teresa self-help book.
How to fluff yourself
to success.
Anyway. Happy New Year.
Oh, we had a happy ending before the Happy New Year even began properly. Mm-hmm. We watched some wrestling. We even, some of us, watched the pay-per-view. I watched it in bits and bobs on my
British.
Phone.
Get out of here.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. It's so thick. I sound too cockney, don't I? I'll try and tone that down. So I got spoiled on stuff before, you know, I saw it. And so, like, I'm not going to judge it too harshly, you know, like, oh, Adam Cole is the devil. Cool. We all kind of knew that from the beginning and are really hoping for some sort of surprise. But
you
also
did.
At the end of the day.
You were saying that the whole time. I was in denial.
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing. Those like even the people were like, it has to be somebody else, like kind of knew in the back of their head that like that's the most likely way they would go, which is not entirely wrong, but also just like the timing of it, it felt like it ran too long. If you're gonna go with the thing that we all know, just do it, don't stretch it out.
I have to say, especially at this particular time of the year, I really didn't have the money to spend on a pay-per-view, but I did it anyways because I thought I need to know what happens with the devil, and I'll be upset if something happens and I don't get to see it. And so that was my whole reason for buying this pay-per-view. I thought the pay-per-view was fine. I didn't think it was like $50 fine.
No.
But I was so sad. I was so sad at the end when Adam Cole revealed himself to be the devil that I was like, fuck this. You fucking stole $50 from me.
It was definitely the first, like, just okay pay-per-view I can even remember. Like, going as far back as I can think, I can't remember one that didn't feel like it was pretty special. And this one was really just kind of okay. In their defense,
they had a shit ton of injuries and stuff to deal with.
Yes.
And a lot of that stuff was last minute. And
that's really sad.
Yeah, it is. But also on an absolute level, $50 is still a lot to pay, and especially when you're, you know, ramping up to once a month. Like, I cannot afford $50 a month for this shit.
Absolutely not. Not with my rent going up.
Oh, man. January 1st.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Sucks. Does anybody but... want to... maybe I should crowdfund. I'm kidding. Yeah. I would never...
The rent or the podcast? Would... Or the pay-per-views?
Oh, God. Pay-per-views is probably a better idea. I was going to say my rent. I was like, I'll never make rent. I'll never be able to crowdfund rent. Also, that's just silly. I'm not going to do that.
Unless?
Unless somebody somehow is like, hey, my dad actually is Daddy Warbucks, so aka Jeff Bezos. So I just happened to find $1 billion in my allowance this year. Do you need like a million of it? Yeah, that'll pay for my rent this year.
I feel like that's called a sugar daddy. And the stories, and in much the same way as your stories in the Cinemax films that you were integral part of.
This would be someone who happened to have a lot of money that they actually didn't even notice was there. And so they're like, you can just have it.
So you're just going, you're talking about embezzlement is what you're saying. Is you're hoping that someone has money, they don't even notice it'd be gone. So no, you just shave a little bit off the top.
They give it to me. They knowingly give it to me, but it's just like they have so much money. They found $1 million, and it was like, wow, I didn't even know I had that. I guess I never really needed it. Would you like it? Yes, I would.
Honestly, I feel like the Skinemax films get a bad break because those stories are more believable than the fantasy you're spinning right now.
Of course. But you know what? It's my fantasy. Okay?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Let me live in this. I can't. How am I supposed to be a powerful manifester if people keep killing my dreams?
Yeah. Fluff your dream.
I'm fluff yourself to that dream. Thank you.
Anyway, was there anything else like... I think there were a lot of good matches on the show, like the Edge and Christian, Eddie versus Mox, you know, that kind of thing. There's some real junk in there, though. Boy, I tell you what.
I really was excited to see Abaddon and what's her
Julie
face?
Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I don't get to see Abaddon much, and this was, I think, her first pay-per-view, which is cool. Yeah. And it wasn't in the pre-show. It was during the actual show.
Look at that.
And, you know what I mean? And it speaks to how popular Julia Hart is right now. But the fact that they put her with Abaddon is just such an interesting choice. It feels really left field. And even though I know that there was like some matches leading up to this, but it's just such an interesting choice. So like, yeah, let's keep it spooky. You know, why not? We have two characters that are in the same corner of
Spooky Town.
Spooky Town. Yeah. Spooky they Town. Have the same zip code anyways.
He needs to be in a spookier key.
And I definitely, I definitely enjoyed that. And, you know, there's some things that were interesting about it. But for the most part, I was like, I can't say I walked away happy about, like, feeling, I felt like I had to watch it because they had not given us what we wanted with the devil people for so long. I mean, I think two other pay-per-views happened without us knowing anything.
Yeah.
And these like challenges of like, you know, will you, you know, they put out a challenge that then they didn't do or something. They're like, who do you trust? Will you like agree to a match without knowing who it is? You know, basically. And then the next thing we know, they're in this pay-per-view and they reveal themselves. So it's like, what the fuck? Yes, we were all fed up with the we don't know who they are bullshit. And two whole pay-per-views or however many, maybe it was just one, go by without us knowing what's going on. But what happened with that? What happened with the mystery match, right? Did they just curveball, all of this. Maybe Adam was not the original choice, but they decided on it because they didn't know what else to do, or the person it was going to be is injured, or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Is like, even as like some of this stuff I can absolutely forgive, because that's the business. People get hurt and you have to change stories on the fly, and your long-term booking, you know, is only so long-term until someone blows out an ankle. The stuff that I do feel legitimate beef about are things like the women's division. Like Tony Khan manages to get behind like one woman at a time.
Yeah.
Like, and he'll really push Britt Baker to the moon. She'll get over, but you don't have a division.
Yeah.
You don't have other people to keep the thing afloat. And so eventually, you know, she just kind of goes away. And then you get Toni Storm, and like, God bless
her. And her promos, by the way, Britt's promos don't necessarily get people over. You know what I mean? I love her promos, but they don't necessarily get people over in the same way that, like, I mean, obviously this is, I can't compare them, but Chris Jericho, right? Like,
right.
Or like MJF, John Moxley, or MJF, like they can get somebody over like fucking crazy at the same time.
Yeah.
And her character doesn't talk well about anybody. So it's she doesn't necessarily get the other girls over. She just is, I'm dominant, 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 I'm dominant. And it's true, but still.
Yeah. And to be again, in her defense, she hasn't been doing this for very long.
No, exactly. And I don't mean to compare her. At the same time, it's like, if it was someone who could do both,
yeah,
who could cut an amazing promo, which she always does, but also get people over at the same time, I think we could have started. I don't know. I mean, it makes me wonder, like, how well the division would have been if all of these opponents seemed formidable, but none of them seemed formidable. I mean, there were obviously plenty throughout the 4 years that did rise to the occasion, but I don't know.
And I do have concerns too about Toni Storm in that very regard. Like, I love her. She's one of the most entertaining things on television. Mm-hmm. Is she getting other people over? Like, she didn't get Rio over. And
absolutely not.
That storyline was supposed to be like a Kill Bill thing. Like, the Outcast took out Riho. Riho comes back, takes out Saraya, takes out Ruby, and then, you know, is coming for Toni Storm. That would have been a great thing to let us know on the goddamn show.
Yeah.
That sounds like great booking. We didn't know dick about this.
Because they don't tell us the story. They're not giving us the story. The announce desk isn't giving us the story. The promos aren't giving us the story. And, you know, I'm sorry. If it's something as iconic as Kill Bill, put her in a yellow jumpsuit. Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. Just do it the one time and everyone will get it. And then you can just go back to your adorable, cool outfits.
Just go back to being your adorable self, Rio. Yeah. So, like, that being said, like, I'm hoping that this year we see a real push for the women's division, because, like, there were, what, 3 women's matches in the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
So, you know, is that a sign? Is that a fuck-up? Just because they ran out of matches to have? Like, oh, God, I guess just put a woman in where we had, you know, a match scheduled, and then Keith Lee got sick, you know? Fuck it.
Yeah, I definitely think it was because they had so many injuries.
Yeah. I choose to be optimistic about this.
Okay. Yes.
Let's talk about the show.
Oh, okay.
That's a thought.
We're already, I don't even know how long into the podcast we're in, probably way more than we ought to be.
We've been here for days.
We haven't left. We've been podcasting since you last heard us back in December.
This whole time.
the show opens with a Samoa Joe promo, and there's a guy that gets people over.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who, I'll bring up this. My demarcation of a good and a great wrestler. Like, there's a lot of good, great, good wrestlers.
Okay.
And there's even some people that you would want to call great. For example, Christian, one of the best heels of all time. But my distinction is that a great wrestler gets the heat when he's a heel or a face. And Christian is an amazing heel. He's never really grabbed me as a face. Samoa Joe can do both. Good oh, yeah. or bad, you're just like, yes, I tell me more, Mr. Joe. Like, everything you say, I am glued to the screen. This whole promo was fan-damn-tastic.
It was pretty strong, and I think it was like one of those things where they shoot it right after the match, like the
yeah.
That he yeah.
I love that. That thing is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely liked his promo. It was good.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up, baby.
Thumbs up.
We've got Adam Cole in the Kingdom.
The Undisputed Kingdom.
Undisputed yes. Kingdom.
Did you catch any of the Undisputed Era in NXT, Teresa?
No.
No, I will not.
It was pretty good stuff. And, I mean, more or less just this. It's Adam Cole and a bunch of, like, a hella good wrestlers behind him. And, you know, just Cole talking and, you know, just being great. Or I should say, now that you said that, being good. Because Adam Cole is a fantastic heel. And I was not buying him at all as a face. I'm so happy he's doing what he does best now.
I liked him as a face, but okay.
Well, you can have your wrong opinions. That's fine.
Okay, so Wardlow abandoned the Jesus thing, I guess.
That's for the best.
I still don't think it was a Jesus thing, but
100% it was a Jesus thing. It is not a coincidence. He had that big old cross during a promo and on his shirt, and then he said he was going to something like be the savior or whatever. It was something very similar to the Redeemer, and it was. Whatever. It was like, I'm going to absolve your sins or something that was very, like, Jesus-y.
I think he said, I'm going to solve your shins. Like, the MJF was having problems with shin splints. And it was like, I got a solution.
That's what Ralph Wiggum said. He said, Jesus died for our shins. anyways. Wardlow's Ralph Wiggum.
You know what? That's I need to start seeing some memes.
Prove me wrong, Wardlow. Prove me wrong. So I thought Cole was giving a decent promo, but I was still, if I were there, I would have just been booing and not listening.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also don't like that Adam Cole now has the devil mask because I love MJF's, like, you're not on the level of the devil. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Let MJF be the devil. Unless he comes back as Satan. Then I would love it even more because saying the word Satan. It just sounds fun. It's just fun to say.
It does. It feels smooth and silky like satin.
Yes, right.
I think it's funny that they could not be bothered to come up with a second mask.
Yeah, MJF couldn't wear the mask anymore because someone stole it. It must be made of priceless material.
Oh, yeah.
Like the souls of, I don't know.
I'm curious.
Girl Scouts.
I'm curious if... MJF was just like, ah, geez, I'm getting all this face heat. I can't I can't sell this devil gimmick anymore because I'm, you know, people like me too much. Scumbag is a real nice middle ground where, like, I cheat a little bit, but, you know, I'm basically a good guy. Whereas the devil just straight up has to be evil.
Yeah.
Unless you're right. Like that little devil character who, like, has a pitchfork and wears diapers.
Who's this? This was a cartoon character.
This was from
a comic book, comic strip or something. What was that guy's
Lil name? Devil?
Lil Devil.
Yeah.
Lil Devil. I don't know.
All right, Calder. Go bone up on the classics, will you, please?
Lil Devil.
Yeah.
It's old.
Google that shit.
Anyways, I was like, meh, fuck this. And because I'm still being ornery about... it's just like the life-shattering disappointment of MJF that it's like too much. It's too much.
That's fair.
And so I'm like, you know, I don't mind betrayal storylines and stuff, but this just, it's just too much.
It took too much away from you. The goodness of Cole and MJF was too much.
But imagine the reality of, I know this is all fake, right? But MJF having trusted someone for the first time and really like put in a lot of effort into changing and trusting and like choosing friendship and choosing to trust, getting over certain bad instincts or whatever, and truly being blindsided by someone who he thought cared about him. That is too much for me. That's too much. That makes me too sad. Like, I can't handle it.
It's pretty rough. Yeah. I mean, think about all the chain restaurants they shared.
And the waiters they clotheslined.
I feel like you spent a lot of your relationships trying to fix bad boys, and this is affecting you more deeply than it might otherwise.
I don't know about that one.
Well, talk like to you your therapist know that about it's it. Wrong.
You know what we?
I don't think that was me, but I don't know.
We need wrestling based therapists to
at least one narcissist, like actual legit
clinical.
Narcissist.
Yeah.
But
did he feel like Adam Cole described MJF? He's saying that MJF is a narcissist. So, like, when you dredge up your feelings, you're like, he did wear a Burberry scarf. He did.
MJF is not a narcissist. He's the how people have bastardized the term, right? To make anyone who's conceited or something into a narcissist. Mm-hmm. But there is an actual, a big difference. There's a big difference.
Yeah, I'll grant you that.
Like,
generous.
I'm pretty sure my dad is one, and given that he believes himself to this day, the debate he gave in 1965 to the preeminent discussion of race relations in America, it really kind of shows me like I want to live in this universe of just unfettered confidence and. Like complete and utter faith in myself, like against all odds. Like,
Teresa, you are working through some shit both on the podcast and prior to the podcast, stuff that will not make air. But I just want everybody listening to know that there's some real emotional growth happening here.
It's just funny and terrible.
Like I said, we just need wrestling-based therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You remember when you first started improv, did you have people in your classes that were clearly just working out everything they should go to a therapist for?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Just at the beginning of my improv and not any other time.
Well, I only really experienced that when it was early on taking classes and stuff.
That means then that you were the person who was working through stuff.
the rest of it, it didn't really happen. It would just be like, certain things would pop up here and there that are like, oh, I know that person is actually dealing with this or whatever. But at the very beginning, oh boy.
The difference is that at the beginning, you are working through things, but you're not like artful enough to make it funny. And then it starts like you start being more skillful at sort of disguising it and molding it into something, but you're still working through stuff.
Yep. That's the secret to comedy.
All right, so let's get back to this because we haven't even gotten to Switchblade coming out.
No, we're barely anywhere.
He's like, oh, now we know who the fuck the devil is. So perfect. Guess what? I've got a bunch of guys too. Bull Club Gold comes out. Now the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass come out. Now everybody knows who the devil is. Now everybody can come after him. Which is good because he deserves it because how dare he shatter a human soul in so many shards. Sharp shards.
Sharp shards.
That's one of those like a warm-up phrases.
Yeah. Sharp shards, shards.
Sharp shards, sharp shards.
Sharp shards shared by Sharon.
Oh.
I was happy that the Acclaimed came out because I'd love to watch Undisputed Kingdom versus Bullet Club, but also I don't need to see two heel factions going at it.
Sure.
Certainly not right away. So the Acclaimed coming out, then I'm like, cool, let's start with that and let's figure out what we're going to do here, because it's way too soon to turn a Bullet Club face. Yeah. They're getting great heat, but again, it's the thing where the Ass Boys are amazing heels, and I have no desire to see them be good guys anytime soon.
The Ass Boys? Oh, the Ass Boys. Sorry.
yes, I know. I know who they are now. In my mind was thinking Acclaimed. It's just,
I get it. You're jet lagged. Mm-hmm. You just had a 10-hour flight home from London, and you're just not thinking straight.
I've been eating nothing but English sweets for days. thumbs up.
Spoiler alert: they're all dates.
Do you have a date with your dates?
Oh.
Ooh.
Thumbs up, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to segment two. Egregious, you guys.
The segment three.
What? Those are two different segments?
The Samoa Joe promo?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, the Samoa Joe promo. Yes, okay, sorry.
You're right. We are doing so much better.
Yeah, 30% better.
So we're recapping as well as having a backstage after-match promo from Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston... He dreamed the impossible dream, and he made it. He beat Mox, and he is now the Triple Crown and the belt for the Continental Classic has a crown on it, which is cute because Eddie Kingston, right?
Nudge.
So it looked good. He was all excited and happy, and the crowd couldn't be happier for him. I was happy for him. It was a good match. You know, it's like old school AEW to me.
Yeah.
You know?
We're at the phase where there is an old school AEW.
Yeah. You know, year one or year two or whatever it was.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where, you know, you expect at the beginning that this is going to happen, and then it does happen, and you're happy about it, as opposed to, you know, like, why didn't they swerve it and give us some, you know, some surprise at the end? Like,
however,
that is exactly how it should have been.
But they threw us off the scent because they had him losing, like, right away.
I don't know. I mean, I think
it's not going to happen for him.
That dialed it in because, like, he didn't actually get knocked out. He got so close. You're like, oh, well, at this point, he has to win it, right?
Yeah, like he got to a point where he had to win every single match after his two losses. And he did. So,
And the magic of Eddie is that, like not everybody can get that over. Like, if that was a Wardlow situation, no. Yeah. You would have done that, and I would have been like, bullshit. Mm. But Eddie is one of those guys where you're like, I believe it, because Eddie believes it. Eddie doesn't know this is fake.
Eddie's chops during that match were so fucking devastating. It was like, okay, Mox, you have no idea. You've forgotten. Eddie can chop with some of the best choppers in Japan, okay? And he can open up your blood vessels with just, once. And Mox, his chops back weren't as strong. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought I remember Mox having good chops too. But for some fucking reason in this match, it seemed very much Eddie was the strong man. Anyways, strong style, whatever.
Strong man.
The strong man, strong style. Strong style man.
Strong style man.
Strong man style.
What we're talking about exactly right now. We're talking about his aftermatch promo. He's all excited and happy and, it was good. And if you didn't get to watch the pay-per-view, which I don't blame you because it was $50 right after Christmas.
Did you know it's only $20 in the UK?
Yeah, that is some fucking dog shit.
They do have to pay for their AEW, though, so like their normal TV. What do you mean? So I guess you have to get Fight TV to watch.
Well, really, everyone has to pay for their AEW Dynamite.
That's true. In some manner of speaking or another. Yeah,
I do. TV. I'm trying to figure out how to get through VPNs and stuff. Because I'm happy to pay to watch AEW because they have commentary. They keep going through the commercials. And I want to hear what's happening watching the commercials.
I don't want the picture-in-picture. I don't want that. Because I have demonstrated over the years I can't be trusted to pay attention to what's going on.
Well, this is true. Something delicious is on this screen.
I will immediately be diverted and forget what I'm doing. And then the show true comes story back on. I'm like, oh, we're not just watching pizza minutes on end. Okay. Anyways, I thought this was a nice little moment and a good promo, and I thumbs it up.
Yeah.
Same.
Then we have a Daniel Garcia promo. Okay. This is amazing. And I was like, this was not the same guy that started at AEW. This motherfucker has just leaps and bounds. He's incredible. He's great. And he absolutely does not need to be hiding behind a faction. He absolutely can be on his own and have his buddies, but like be the guy, right? He doesn't need people to talk for him. He doesn't need Jericho. And he's great. So I gave this a big thumbs up. What'd you guys think? Absolutely.
I gave this a thumbs up, but I will say when they started going, I was like, oh, this is going to be a Daniel Garcia promo. And then they're going to cut to Swerve, who's going to like respond, and they just did Daniel Garcia, and then they moved on. I'm like, Daniel Garcia is cutting a real good promo these days, but they were smart enough to know that if they smushed it right up against the Swerve promo, Swerve's going to walk all over him. So you break it up, and that's exactly what they should have done, and they nailed it.
And they did it.
They put their groceries in exactly the right places in the bag.
Yes. Yep, they grocery Tetris'd it.
No bread on the bottom. Okay, so then we have Orange versus Dante Martin. This is very exciting because I personally hadn't watched I'm just Rampage. Very nervous about Dante's leg, okay?
Yeah.
I'm worried about bones.
I don't understand
bones, ligaments, how bones heal. Muscles.
I don't understand how bones heal so well that you can break your leg off of your body and then just like, it's fine. We can do all the same stuff we used to do. But okay. So I thought this was a great match. There's something that happens after the match, though, that really it's all I want to talk about. So you guys, if you have anything you want to say about the match, say it now. Oh, I love Dante's tiny kicks. There's that. Okay.
Yeah, that was very good. It was a great match. They went back and forth really nicely.
I do want to say that for the longest time, I was under the impression that it was the international title that was going to be combined to make up the Triple Crown, not in fact a entirely new title called the Continental title that would then be combined with these other two titles to create one title. For a while there, I was like, wait a minute, why is Orange Cassidy not in this? And then I realized, oh, that means there's a third singles underbelt, you know, which is also the ROH belts, because ROH exists / does not exist. What is going on? Yeah. I got it straightened out, though. I now know, because I didn't. I was like, yeah, well, I don't want Orange Cassidy to lose any sort of belts, and I don't want Eddie Kingston to lose belts. Turns out they can both have belts, which is
that's why they made the Continental belt, because they're like, everybody, we're in the era of everyone gets a belt.
You get a belt. You get a belt. You get a belt.
Yeah.
Oh, these millennials with their participation belts.
Exactly. The thing that happens after, okay, so Orange wins. I fully expected this, although it'd be cool to see Dante Martin on a run, but I just don't think they're going to take the belt away from Orange ever.
They better not.
Well, I was thinking, like, I would like to shake things up there, honestly.
Yeah,
it feels like he's had the belt or a belt for forever.
It's been over a year, right? Am I crazy? It's been under a year.
I think it's been under a year, but also he did, you know, not have it for a while, so that sort of like warps our perception of it.
Okay. Okay, so right after the match, we hear a noise, and I was like, wait, who's this? Oh, my God. It's Private Party. Mark Wen is back. Hell yes! There were welcome back chants. I love Private Party. I love Mark Wen and Isaiah Cassidy. They're so silly.
Yeah.
Mark Wen's fur coat had, like, it said Private Party on it. Oh, man. I'm just excited.
I'm hopeful. We need
more shit like this.
Like, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I mean, they're a really good team, but they're also really silly. And I miss the silly teams. We don't have enough silly teams.
Yeah.
Like, I want the wingmen. I want to see them more.
The workhorsemen.
Yeah. The workhorsemen are a little more like straightforward. Like the name is kind of silly, but they don't have like much of a goofy gimmick. There are those guys, the two 80s wrestlers. Like,
oh yeah.
Turbo something. Yeah.
You know, and just, I miss more of the goofy stuff, and I don't know where the goof is happening. Cause like we have 5 hours of wrestling a week. I don't know where they put those moments or
yeah, there's the a lot of loose. There's a lot of deadly seriousness going on. There's probably an imbalance there. You're right.
You know, it seems like all the factions right now are having these existential crises. And it doesn't have to be like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, where is the energy of Matt Hardy and the drone?
Yeah. You mean what was his name? Val?
Voyager one,
no,
something one.
Yeah, what was it? No, it was something one. Yeah, what was it?
Shoot, Anyway.
Well, I guess you don't enjoy goofy stuff that much, huh?
Guess not.
It was so long ago.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, and it was like in the middle of the pandemic when we were losing our minds. We're allowed to forget huge chunks of time.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking about was that, like, it's interesting that Private Party is back.
Vanguard!
Vanguard one, that's it, yeah. It feels like Private Party has never actually had a run. It
was early.
Yeah.
When they sort of did, but
they didn't quite connect. Part of the problem was that they were real similar in style to Top Flight, and they really needed to lock into their characters, and also Top Flight needed to have characters so that you could have these two real similar teams coexist.
Yeah.
But because they were both still kind of figuring it out, they just kind of got to be like one big mushy mess, which was unfortunate.
I feel like Private Party had like good character, but I think Isaiah's run as a heel just kind of helped amp up the silliness, which is going to be way different from anything that anybody else is doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I miss the screams. His screams of fear when he's being like, when someone's doing some move around on him. Oh my god,
you know,
this is hysterical.
You know what I hope they do is to bring back the velvet rope, like on Private Party's way to the ring.
But they did do that. They did do that tonight.
Yeah, did they? I didn't notice. I don't know why.
Yeah,
there was a little bit of a hiccup at the beginning, I think, because it sounded like Taz was expecting the Private Party music, and when they played the Top Flight music, he was like, I thought I heard something else there, but I think it might have been some sort of glitch where like they didn't have the rope out in time or something, and they had to like play something else, but they got cleared up.
So I'm very, very excited because I've been wondering what's been going on with Mark Quinn. I've been worried that he wasn't going to come back or something.
Yeah.
And it made me sad to think that, like, you know, he gets hurt and then doesn't get to come back, but his tag partner was doing so well. And, you know,
it's always kind of a mixed thing when a tag partner comes back, because like if they were doing good as a singles wrestler, you're like, it feels like a step backwards. But also some people are just like, they're more than the sum of their parts when there's a team. So,
yeah, I think that I'm just very excited to see this team. I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, thumbs up for that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. This is thumbs up for the match. Yep.
We got Toni Storm with Renee. This is my favorite thing she's done so far, I think. First of all, she's like, that's not my milieu. Which I'm like, I love this kind of shit. This is great.
That was also the note that I had.
Dumbest, like, pretentious terms. Like, it's not my bag. I don't watch wrestling. Milieu. But then we get to the end, and these things happen that are even more perfect. Luther, scoop. He scoops her up, and then she goes, chin, tits? And do you see her little shoulders pop out, her tits? And she kicks her foot, and her shoe flies off, and she's like, shoo!
Pretty strong.
It's just so dumb and great, and I like it. Thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, yes. Wonderful, wonderful. And again, like I worry that like she isn't getting anybody over except herself in these. They're so fun to watch, but like I'm worried about the division as a result.
Well, I wouldn't want to put that too much on individuals. Like ideally she's putting other people over as well as herself, but that feels like the same thing as like putting it on like everybody to like contribute to charity when the corporations can do the most for charity.
Oh yeah, no, I'm definitely not saying that it's her fault. Toni, get your shit together, man.
Yeah, come on,
I'm
bro.
I'm sorry. Other it. Tony. Tony Khan. Yes, get Tony your shit Khan. Together, man. Also, it was interesting. I read a thing where they were saying that Tony, they had planned to bring this character out sooner, but one, Tony was like sort of researching the thing. She was like watching old movies and sort of like getting the thing down, which is why it came out just boom, like right out the gate. Like she nailed it.
Fully formed. Yeah. But
also they were waiting for Mariah May. She was having visa issues. And apparently that character is so integral to this story that they pushed back her debut some.
That's
and I don't understand that at all. I hope that whatever they're planning is worth it. Because like at this point, I'm like, I don't why does she need to be here?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it yet. And they need to pick up. Well, I don't know. I complain about storylines all the time, but it's like I would like to see something pick up the pace.
Yeah.
Picante.
Yeah. Pick up the pace, Picante, please. New York City.
Oh, my God. That's, what was that, like 30 years ago?
Sure.
35 years ago?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Of course
I was. Get a rope.
Get a rope.
The things America just makes so light of.
I find it hard to believe that at any point in history, salsa was being made in New York City.
I'm sure at some point, if there's a bottling company there.
Like I'm sure Chicago, it's still being made there today, yeah.
Chicago's a major bottling hub. That's why a lot of sodas, like Dr. Pepper and 7-Up, they're not part of Pepsi, but like they, I think, are bottled at the Pepsi plant. But they're not part of Pepsi.
They exist in their own separate soda universe.
There's something like this, and I could have that all wrong, but it's like
a crossover event.
You know. But Dr. Pepper's from Texas, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think I do.
No idea what you mean.
Well, for my part, I'm very content with where things are between Mariah May and Toni Storm. I feel like I'm patient with it.
Yeah, I guess I'm being a little crabby about it. I don't understand Mariah May. I don't see a character and I don't like what I'm seeing. So I'm glad she will talk about it, has a match tonight, because now I'll finally have something to like understand a little. But but the character itself, I'm not getting it. And so I just need to know, I need either the story to progress enough to where I understand what the fuck this character is, or I need them to be clearer about it earlier. Like the story doesn't have to progress, but I just be clear.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Agreed.
Which may or may not be her issue. Anyways, thumbs up for Toni Storm.
Yes. Thumbs up.
Okay, we got the House of Black calling out FTR.
Mm-hmm.
It's Aleister Black.
Malachi.
Oops. Malachi.
Wow.
I'm sorry. It's like,
are you one of those people that are talking about how he's going to go back to WWE soon?
Are people saying that? Is that true?
I believe his contract is up soon. So like conceivably he could go back. I don't think he would, but also he's married to Zelina Vega, who's over there. And Andrade just left, you know, one would assume partially because his wife is in the WWE. So like, why wouldn't you go there?
Well, why would he? Well, yeah, I guess why not?
But Andrade was just in the pay-per-view. I don't know
what you mean. That was his last match.
Yeah.
Oh, this is his last match?
Yeah. He's already talked, you know, like tweeted basically like, thank you very much. Like they all parted on good terms. Dang, he's not mad, but like if you could get paid more money to go like spend more time with your wife, your fairly newly married wife, like fucking why wouldn't you?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't know, maybe like if you were like in that like vein of like, oh, my wife. Ugh.
Yeah, here's the thing. You're a 90s comic.
Yeah. 5 years from now.
No, I'm sorry. 60s comic.
When he's over it, then yes. But like I think they only got married last year, so, you know, like, let them have some newlywed time, for crying out loud.
I think it was like a couple of years ago. Let me think.
I think it's great that House of Black hopefully is going to have some more action.
I mean, it does suck that, like,
that's the good news.
Two of the three members of House of Black, I guess technically there's four, but two of the three guys, they have relationships, like significant others, in WWE. And it must be really hard to travel all over, be in different cities all the time, and not be able to see each other. So it would really be a detriment to AEW if those two guys were to leave.
Definitely.
It would suck ass. Because it's been such a boost to, I mean, God, it's even shaken up the women's division. You know what I mean? It's given, breathed new life into different characters in the women's division. And, you know, adding a really fun, cool, you know, unmatched presence, right, to the men's division. That's really cool. So it would be really shitty.
I think it's very funny that, like, the first thing you said was it would be a real detriment to AEW if blah, 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 blah. And then to emphasize, it would suck ass.
You know, I'm not trying to give a debate. I'm not trying to get some debate scores.
Well, you're sure not going to give one that lasts the test of time like some we could talk about.
Yeah. his points have been proven for decades now.
Oh, we're working through some shit here, people. Okay. Just be patient.
So we've got thumbs up for this.
Yes.
Because it's an excellent promo, I thought.
I middled it.
Wow.
I don't. Like it sounds like what we're going towards, the stipulation is that FDR has to join the House of Black. There's something about, like, it's going
to
be
to your families
in your hometown. Yeah. And you have to turn your back on them and disown them. And that's just real silly to me. And that's not the world that FDR lives in.
But that's
it's going to be.
That's like 80s wrestling. You know what I mean? That's fun.
I guess, but I don't ever remember, you know, like the Road Warriors or whatever, you know, like doing a Papa Shango thing where they're, you know, hypnotized or, you know, what have you. Like some of the wrestlers, you know, like the Four Horsemen, I don't ever remember them doing like mystical angles or that sort of thing. I just feel like it's the wrong team to be doing it with.
Here's something. Who was it at AEW that when they lost a match had to be like somebody's servant or something? Was it Ethan Page? Or was it Ethan Page's servant?
Somebody's contract.
Yeah, there have been a variety of like contract ones.
But there was one where somebody had to like follow him around and like, I don't know, do his chores or something.
Yeah.
Unless I'm just remembering this all weird.
I think that's vague
recollection.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
There's one of those going on in WWE right now. I think in NXT.
There we go. See? Ideas. They get circulated.
Yeah.
Repurposed. Reduce, reuse, recycle. All right. The next segment. Renee talking to Swerve and Nana. Also, okay, Swerve, he wears smudged eyeliner, right?
Yes.
I've tried to see this, and sometimes it looks like smudged eyeliner, but sometimes I'm like, maybe this is just the lighting.
Yeah, he does something like kind of make his eyes pop. Yeah, I don't know what the technique is. But.
Anyway, Swerve nails it, kills it.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying, watch out, Samoa Joe.
Prince Nana is killing it.
Oh, Prince Nana is like murdering.
He gets more mic time than he does normally.
And he's like, at the end, whose house? And you hear the audience. That's what's so great when they do promos that are technically in the building. You know, yeah. Maybe not in the ring, but they're in the building. So the audience is in and can respond. And you can hear that through the TV. That's always fun. Yeah. So that was a great application.
Although we know, because we've been in the building for this kind of thing, most times you can't hear shit. And so the only thing they can respond to is Nana like going up, and, you know, even if you can't quite hear it, you can tell the cadence, like, oh, he's saying whose house? I can respond to that.
Well, it's possible that in some arenas you actually can hear, but in the very, very old one that we have gone to, you definitely cannot.
Possibly.
It's really weird that, like, I don't mind the forum, but it would be really cool if they did it in a more modern one, because it would just, first of all, the layout of where are the snacks and the bathrooms. These are things that truly bug me about the forum. If you're not on the floor, if you're not on the floor, you're not close enough ever to either. So it's like, if you either have to have tickets on the floor, or you just like have to smuggle in snacks and just pee in a cup.
Well, guess you better pony up the cash then, you poor.
Oh boy. Yeah,
I mean, I am a poor. All right. So I thought this was a great promo. Thumbs up, thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Then we have a match with Mariah May versus Queen Aminata.
Mm-hmm.
My first note is, why do women wrestle in underwear? And I then immediately answered myself by saying, I guess it's like the tiny briefs, R.E. Adam Cole, MJF. They were tiny briefs.
I did get a real WWE vibe off her garb. Although it might have been what she wore in Stardom. I don't even know. It did have a real like lingerie kind of feel, which is not my cup of tea.
Yeah, because Queen Aminata is wearing,
she looks like a fucking warrior.
Yeah, she's basically wearing bra and panties, but it's not bra and panties. It's like, whatever, spandex top and bottom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do know.
Like, men's tiny briefs, but for ladies. And I don't get that feel. It doesn't feel like underwear. But yeah. when Mariah May was wearing it, felt like underwear. There's something about it. All the strappies, I don't really know. But anyway, I loved Queen Aminata. She sells like a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. I loved it when she is going to hit Mariah May with a chop and she flicks Mariah May's hair out of the way, like on both sides of her face, just like flips it back so she can hit. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is an amazing performer. There's some weird moments, like Mariah May put her on the rope, but then ran off. And I was like, why would she just sit there on the rope? You know, just weird things like this. But other than that, I thought Aminata rules. Did anybody else catch that chant? Did they say flashlight, fleshlight?
I couldn't. I couldn't quite make out what it was for sure.
This is part of the reason why I want to try and get that overseas feed, because it might have been something that happened during the commercials that they were responding to. Although I did hear later on in the night someone say, kind of into the microphone, an audience member saying, tell her about the fleshlight. So it might also be some sort of running gag that we're not aware of. I don't know. Maybe it's a Jersey thing.
Oh, maybe someone made a fleshlight about her?
Maybe. That's... Or maybe her clothes look like a fleshlight? I don't know.
I think we should continue to consider this.
That's the important stuff that we're getting to here. So
that's what your Google search is going to be tonight. So, because then it was repeated later in the night. Yeah, like what you said. That audience member said, ask her about the fleshlight. Yeah, okay. So, anyways, I thought Aminata rules. She needs to be all elite. I would love that.
I think she might be They mentioned how she was local. They've called a lot of matches with her on Heat and the other show. Heat? No. Heat. The other two shows they used to have that they don't anymore.
Oh, Elevation and Dark?
Dark?
Thank you. Dark and Elevation. Heat? Jesus Christ.
Where'd you come up with that?
Nah, it was a fucking WWE Sunday night show like back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just Googled Queen Aminata because I wanted to see if she was All Elite. I don't see that she is yet.
Oh, well, then she fucking was sign her.
On an episode of Dark facing Diamante. Oh, wait. And she also has had faced off with Red Velvet and Big Swole. That was in 2021.
Big Swole. Okay. That's a while ago.
On Dark. Okay. So she has done things on Dark before. And it could be that. It was where they were, like in Jersey or wherever. Because I think they said that she was local. I don't know.
Okay.
But, okay. I don't know. Anyways, I thought she was great. I thought this was a great match.
Mariah May, real good in-ring work.
I thought so.
Yeah. You know, this being her debut, I thought she did a good job. I thought Aminata really did a great job shooting her shot, getting the attention of hopefully a lot of people so that they will sign her. But back to Mariah May. Okay, so are we combining this next part?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So Mariah May wins, and then – Renee gets in the ring, and I was like, I felt so bad for Mariah May because she's so out of breath, which of course, and she's trying to cut this promo, and I was like, oh, this is torture. But basically she's like talking about all the stuff, whatever, and how Toni Storm this, that, the other, and Toni Storm didn't
also
like New
talking
Jersey.
Mad shit about New Jersey, which was a lot of fun.
That's what I was about to say, is that Mariah May is like, you know, so great to have my debut here, but I wish it wasn't in New Jersey. You know, like, gross, New Jersey, boo, boo, boo. So then we get this music and a graphic come up, and it's the virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo, who is from New Jersey. And I was like, ooh, Deonna's going to get Toni because she's now All Elite. And I thought to myself, thanks for the hire, Toni. Fingers crossed this, you know, goes well.
Yeah. This is a big deal hire. Hopefully it means that he's willing to give some more time and space to the women's division.
Here's hoping.
I can imagine all these women being okay. What am I thinking of?
Indeed.
It's like a thing, like if let's say you have all these, you have like a shelf, and then you stack these things on the shelf so that they're all lined up, but then you keep adding new things at the end of the shelf and push all the other things over to make room for it, and then something falls off on the other side. The women's division feels like every time someone new comes in, someone else drops off because they only have so much time and attention. And so I'm thinking about all the other women that we don't see right now that aren't around that I really love, or that have just their contracts expired and Toni never did anything about it. And so anytime someone gets hired, I'm wondering just how nervous is the women's locker room? How like cagey do they feel? Because it's like you don't know if you're going to be the one that falls off.
That's a worry.
It is a worry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. However, I give the match and this promo from Deonna and all this stuff, I give it a thumbs up.
Same.
As do I.
We got Shivana talking to Shayna Wayne, Christian Cage, and Nick Wayne. And Shayna Wayne talks first.
and the crowd is booing. And she goes, "You boo me? You boo a mother?" Oh, I laughed. It was so stupid. It's so great. It's so dumb.
She's pretty good at promos.
Yeah.
She's gotten better, for sure.
I guess former professional wrestler, but like she's trained. So I think previously we just didn't get enough time to see what she could do.
It could be that she was doing face work that she doesn't do well prior.
Yeah.
And now she's allowed to do heel work that she's potentially probably better at.
Yeah.
Christian Cage, the patriarch.
I mean, I just can't get over how perfect the patriarchy as a faction name just is.
Works on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. It's so perfect. It drives me nuts.
And you know, the crowd's chanting Luchasaurus because obviously Luchasaurus was the first winner, not Christian Cage. Luchasaurus is the rightful owner of that belt.
It's, yeah, that is an interesting question there because we're talking about like putting other people over. And to me, it felt like the right time for Luchasaurus to win that contract, for Edge to have the belt, and then for Luchasaurus to get into a feud with Edge for that belt so that, you know, Luchasaurus gets elevated because Edge doesn't have anywhere higher to go. Like, he's already, you know, one of the biggest stars on the show. So is Christian. I'm not sad that this feud will continue because like there's so much more meat left on that bone, but also I do get wary when, you know, you're putting all this time onto someone who, you know, on the wrestlers who are, yeah, who are in their fucking 50s, man.
Well, the hope is that Edge has then his own faction. And so then other guys that are around him get more of a shine. I don't know who that would be because they fucking give all the men pretty good shiners. Yeah. Shinies.
Shiny bun boys.
Yeah.
But anyways, it looked like Luchasaurus might be ready to turn on Christian Cage. I was getting a little bit of that.
Yeah, that's what I thought at the pay-per-view, and the fact that he didn't, like, well, I guess we'll be on this for a while still, so.
Yeah, but tonight, though.
There was a moment, for sure.
Yeah. And so we may be seeing the fruit of this. As long as the crowds keep chanting Luchasaurus instead of, what, Control-Alt-Delete? What is he called?
Kill Switch.
No, Control-Alt-Delete, I believe, is the correct name.
If I were a wrestler, I would have to have a move called Control-Alt-Delete. Just so people had to say it. Because that's not a thing anymore.
Nothing's stopping you from having a move now. Just bust it out on someone.
You're right. Yeah.
Get some entrance music and just make it a thing.
Control-Alt-Delete, otherwise known as my dishes.
Anyways, I gave this whole thing a thumbs up. It was funny.
Definitely thumbs up. Love it.
Yeah.
Christian Cage is getting all pissed off like, "Is that Luchasaurus? You can get him trying to Luchasaurus." Anyway, so the next segment we have Renee. She's all over the place. She's pulling what the Night of a Thousand Shivanis used to be. Renee is with the Outcasts. And there's a new girl, Harley Cameron.
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to be with QTV.
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. That's what it was.
That was when we didn't know her name.
That's right. And so basically, it looks like they're trying to do a lesbian storyline with Saraya and Harley.
I hope that's not what it is.
Look, we have... I don't know where Harley was before AEW, but Ruby and Saraya are from WWE. So if they're probably pulling one out from their notebooks, you know what I mean? From the past. There was probably something like this that they were either involved in or was happening around them. And they're like, let's just do this.
Whatever. That was definitely the intimation. I'm hoping that it's something else. Like, don't tell Ruby that we killed her father or something. Or,
well, I hope that's it, yeah.
Stole Angela Parker or some such thing. Wow. Because if it is like, oh, we can't tell anybody that we're secret lovers, that just sounds hokey as fuck.
It is hokey as fuck, but so is most everything at WWE. Or I'm sorry, AEW. Wow.
Harsh.
Like, okay, during the pay-per-view, Miro, his wife, what is it? CJ, is it?
CJ Parker.
CJ Perry.
That's it, okay.
Perry.
I keep wanting to say her other name, but it's CJ Perry. Okay, so it was really fun what was happening. And then when she turned on Andrade to help Miro, I liked that, although Miro still wasn't having it. So we'll see how that develops. But it's hokey, right? That's still hokey. I'm with your wife. I got your wife, right?
That's, yeah.
But it's happening, and people enjoyed it. It's now over, but maybe it doesn't have to be a forever thing.
In defense of what I also thought was terrible booking with CJ and Miro, I feel like Andrade leaving kind of took everybody by surprise, and probably that feud is meant to go on longer, and they just had to kind of cut it off. But also, it still doesn't make any sense that she would come in and do some sort of thing where she was not going to be with Miro for a ludicrous reason, and then eventually getting back together with him. Just bring her in and have them together. Just what all anybody ever wanted anyway.
Yeah. And I don't know. Like, is she going to wrestle, or is she just going to be like a valet? Do you think?
I don't think she's going to wrestle.
Just valet.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the wrestling she was doing in WWE, she was kind of pushed to do. She wasn't really into it, so I don't know. Oh,
okay. Okay, so then, all right, so did we do all that? I actually gave this bit a middle because I wasn't sure what was going on, and... You know, I'm not supposed to know yet. They don't want me to know. So I'm middle.
Trying to keep you in the dark.
But I do know at least there's someone new in the Outcasts.
Yeah.
And there's some drama.
I mean, she needs to wear a flannel like shirt around her waist if she's going to really be part of it.
You're right. And green lipstick.
I wasn't sure if I was going to middle this because I don't like the booking. Harley is okay, but she's mostly just been playing like I'm the girl with big boobs role since she's been here, and I want to see something different. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this segment because of the way Saraya was playing off her. You know, Ruby's like, oh, great, another crazy blonde girl. It's like, well, it's a different kind of crazy. And then after words, when Harley was like being a little nuts, she was like, well, I said she would be helpful. I didn't say she would be sane. Hmm. It was sort of like a fun vibe there.
Yeah.
That, like, she sort of has this sort of loose cannon that she is not quite sure she can deal with. So, like, hopefully it'll be good. I think it will be good. I'm thumbing it up because it was a new dynamic that I was kind of into.
Aspirational.
Indeed.
Did you thumb it, Calder?
I don't know. Oh, you do? Okay.
Then we have the Alpha which I love also because it plays off of Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Takeshita comes out. So fucking cool. I was really sad at the pay-per-view. He came out wearing Bat Devil mask, but the camera never got a close-up. So by the time he was coming to the ring, you know, he had taken it off. And I was so pissed. He's like, I want to see this cool fucking mask while he's got his robe on. Like, it's fucking neat.
Yeah.
This time he just carried it with him. But anyways. So it's Takeshita versus Darby Allin. And okay. Takeshita versus Darby Allin. Fuck.
Yeah, this match was out of control.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Darby did some fucking crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
One thing was Darby did a tope suicida into Takeshita's knee.
Yep. That's number one. They replayed
three times and it didn't get any prettier. he also did this thing like this. He jumped off the rope thing. I don't know how to describe it, but it was so crazy and cool. Like he pushed off the rope with his feet to give him a boost. Whatever. I can't describe it. If you saw it, you know what I mean. It was fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And also
we could also talk about Takeshita flinging him in the air for that mat return.
Oh my God.
He just tosses him in the air like nothing. Or the rolling German on that, the ramp.
The rolling German suplex going backwards down the ramp.
Yeah.
That was crazy. See, this is the kind of rolling that makes sense to me.
Let's lay it out.
Yeah.
It makes sense in that, like, it's a thing you would want to do to destroy another person. It doesn't make sense in that a person would allow that to be done to them, which Darby does.
This whole fucking match, I was like, oh, did you like not qualify for the health inspection for the Everest thing? So you're just like, fuck it. I'm just going to fuck myself up even more. Like, it was crazy. This was so crazy. It was really good. I loved it. And Takeshita wins, and Takeshita looks like such a fucking badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, thumbs up big.
Oh, yeah. I think this was probably the match of the night.
I would agree with that.
And we can throw in the promo after the commercial, too, which is more getting over these guys. Fletcher looks good back there. With the belt. Yeah. It was just a basic promo, you know.
So Renee was backstage after the match with Takeshita and Callis and Hobbs and what's his face?
Kyle Fletcher. Come on, man.
Kyle Fletcher. Sorry.
Put some respect. He's the ROH TV champion.
I don't know what it is about. It's always white guys. I can never remember their names. Every time I'm like, what's his face? 9 times out of 10, it's just some white dude. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't know why, but I can't remember your name.
He's Australian.
Like everybody else.
as white as can be.
But anyways, whatever. Kyle Fletcher. Takeshita says some cool shit, some cool sounding shit in Japanese, which I love. Just let your people do their thing. And so that we can see the passion, so we can see the rage and fury. then Callis, you know, gets on the stick and executes a flawless Callis promo and puts out a challenge to Sting, basically. And I mean, all of this, giant thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Eddie Kingston, he's on the announce desk.
Nice.
Because it's a four-way match. Trent Beretta versus Brian Cage versus Bounty Hunter Brian Keith.
No, Bounty Hunter is correct. No. Or Brownie Hunter. I'm not sure where you were going with that. But
I would love to be a Brownie Hunter. Fuck those little girls. Get it?
I do.
The brownies?
Yeah, you're going to kill them.
Yeah.
No, I heard like a MILF Hunter. So fuck those little girls takes a very different context. You sicko. Like,
you know how girls, before you get into Girl Scouts, there's brownies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, I know what you're saying. Oh. I'm just saying that you're a filthy pervert.
But the fourth person being El Hijo del Vikingo.
Yeah.
This was a fun match. I have never seen Brian Keith before, so it was cool to see.
Too many Brians.
I love Brian Cage, too. I just like that he's, like, doing more shit now. I don't know what the weird thing that happened with him in AEW for a minute there, but I'm glad he's back. I also love that he wears his, like, get my shit in stuff.
In the Sega font. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in the Sega font, man. But also the fact that he wears his something that says get my shit in.
Yep.
I just really like that because it's like, you know, that's his deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Okay. So I thought it was good. I don't know what to say about it, though.
Then let's talk about Eddie Kingston going after Taz.
Oh, my God.
You didn't invite me over for Gabagool.
Yeah. It was like, oh, there goes your Coke Zero when they hit the desk. When somebody hit the desk. And he's like, nope, it's cool. It's right here. It's like, ah. and he was pretty funny. And just, you know, basking in his own glory.
Well, yeah. What I thought was interesting was that he was deflecting, like what they tried to put on him, because like they asked him about like winning the tournament. He was like, "Yeah, I feel great. Can we get back to the match?"
Which is nice. Yeah. That's a nice thing because he's like, you know, I already had my moment. I had my pay per view. There are guys up here that need, you know, an audience's eyeballs, and you know. It seems like that seemed like one of the coolest things he could have done in that moment, because maybe other people would have been talking about themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. Someone asked you a direct question, but it's just pretty classy that he was like, we're going to keep the focus on the guys in the ring, especially the guy that nobody really knows, Brian Keith.
Turns out Eddie Kingston knows how to get people over as well as himself.
Yeah.
Well, I think that his interest in talking about other people may have something to do with the insecurity that he sometimes talks about.
That's part of it, and that's fucking even better.
Chan starts a wrestling promotion. I want only insecure wrestlers. If you do not have a complex, you cannot be in my faction or my promotion. Anyways, I liked it. I don't know. I guess it's a thumbs up.
Yeah, I thought the action was pretty good. What I'm interested in is what they're doing with Trent Barretta for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting. But also, yeah, like Danhausen got involved, and like they were sort of teasing that there's beef between him and Trent, but he ended up helping Trent. So
I really want to see more Dan. Great. I mean, Danhausen has been with the company for a long time now.
Yep.
I know he had a serious injury, and now he's back. So now I want to, if he's back and if he's cleared, I want to see him in a million matches. I want to see the mega evil Danhausen, not just kinda, with the evil Danhausen with the teeth, the jar teeth. I
want that jar of teeth.
I think it's the creepiest, coolest gimmick ever. I fucking love it. I also miss his cape, but I'm sure it'll find its way back. So the next bit. Okay, Renee is talking to Daddy Magic, but Adam Page interrupts. Daddy Magic doesn't even get a word in. And looks like Adam Page is going heel.
Yeah.
I think so.
Did you let out some air?
Yeah. Are you deflating a balloon right now?
I mean, I don't get the vibe that he's going heel just so much as, you know, he's like frustrated, angry. This is the another side of, Paige, a more aggressive side. I think he's still going to be a face, but you know, we'll see. Maybe he will.
He's wearing all black. Classic 80s move.
You know what? Black isn't necessarily an evil thing.
Let's look at Hulk Hogan when he turned bad. Suddenly he painted on a black beard. And I think he had a black bandana or something too. Then Macho Man Randy Savage, when he went bad, all black. It's just a thing people do to signify. I mean, look at Danhausen's neck. Right? It's just
fair
like
point.
Like it's like a cartoony way to signify I've changed. I personally like that because I like to have clear signals.
Yeah.
So indeed. Seems like a clear signal to me. What's the guy's name that was the bad guy in Pretty in Pink? And oh, James Spader, right?
I mean, I don't think that was the name of the character, but no. James Spader.
James Spader. He's a bad guy in lots of different things. But if there was a way to like signify you're a bad guy, but
you would look
James
like James
Spader,
Spader.
Bad guy, if you suddenly had this feathered hair and like popped collar with a suit jacket, you know, little Siggy smoking in the hallway of your school, you know, like. That I would also accept that.
Oh, okay.
Fair.
Anyways. I love James Spader.
He is pretty
talented
great.
Performer.
Yeah.
You know who else is a talented performer?
Whoa. I middled this segment.
Oh wow.
I did too because like they're setting up for Daddy Magic to give a promo and then Paige interrupts him. And then we never get back to the promo, but also Paige didn't really contribute or move things forward. I left it. I didn't thumb it because I was like, okay, either this just goes nowhere and we don't ever bring it up again. In which case I'm going to thumb it down. Cause it's a colossal waste of time. Or as it turned out, like, it completely ties into the next segment because Daddy Magic's on commentary and Paige comes out and all of this. So I'm like, okay, this felt a little awkward in the moment, but it totally makes sense. So, yeah, good on him.
Yeah, I think it's just showing off how much of a dick he is.
Yeah. I still middled it because, like, it didn't advance as much as it could have, but, like, yeah.
Calder?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I middle it.
Then we have Swerve and Nana. We have Daddy Magic on commentary. Swerve versus Daniel Garcia. Nana's dance. He's like getting everyone on their feet, including you at home. On your feet, he said. Everyone says it. But then Daniel Garcia has his silly dance, too.
That dance-off was amazing.
Ugh. And it gets a holy shit chant, which made me giggle muchly.
I very much enjoyed this. Again, I'm excited
that Daniel Garcia has been able to progress and learn and... it's not like he was ever a bad wrestler, but he's definitely gotten better and it looks like he's in very good company. And I'm happy he gets this singles run.
Same.
But also it's like I just watched Swerve kills, like just murders people. He's
the ultimate Marvel villain. I saw the bloodiest face I've ever seen. The grossest, bloodiest match with this man. And I was like, you can't beat him, Daniel. I'm sorry. You can't. And in fact, he did not.
No,
indeed.
Swerve wins. And then Nana was talking, but Hangman comes out. And I was like, but they already had their thing. But they start beating each other up, and everybody's got to come out and pull them apart. And so I guess they still have a thing. Even though Adam lost like 6 pints of blood and lost. It's still not over.
Evidently not.
Swerve was on Wrestling with Friends, Wrestling with Freddy, the Freddy Prinze Jr. podcast, and he just interviewed him, and he had some really interesting things to say about basically the build and the match itself with Hangman, about how they constructed it and all that sort of thing. He's a real interesting guy to talk to, or to listen to. I didn't fucking talk to him. But yeah, if you get a chance, check that out, because it's really interesting. He's a real interesting dude, and yeah. I'm glad he's doing well.
I'm so glad, because he's always been fucking amazing.
Yeah. And especially when you saw him with Keith Lee, it's like, holy shit, this motherfucker is incredible. And the stuff Keith Lee was able to do with him also was incredible. Like Swerve jumping off of, or like using Keith Lee as a springboard to jump on other opponents, you know, or whatever the fuck. It was just so crazy.
Yeah.
And that's so creative and so different. And you never see that. So the fact that, I mean, you know, for whatever reason, they were together for a bit and they did a great job, but it demonstrated so much of his abilities and his creativity. But this, where he is right now, is so apex. It's so top level. Like, I just don't see how it could ever go wrong. I say that. And then they'll do things like Adam Cole will, you know, break sharp shards in your heart. Sharp shards in your heart.
Sharp shards. Sharp shards. So
who knows?
Sharp shards in your sharding shark.
It was interesting to me because I was thinking this was the first time in forever that it felt like they did the like pull apart like ending of a show. I don't remember when the last time, because there was a time when they were doing that a few times.
Oh my god, maybe. It was like every fucking week. I remember that for sure. Remember Tyson and that whole pull apart with Jericho?
Oh, and Tyson.
Yeah.
They've done the pull apart,
and it's not as satisfying as a grilled cheese pull apart.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
That's 94% show, you guys.
Hey, not bad.
Honestly, I feel like it's a little lower than that, but also there were very few misses. Like, the stuff was either just like, that is as it should be, or, you know, a little better than that.
I felt like it was a very strong start to the year.
Yeah, it was like an insane start to the year. And who knows, maybe, I don't know. I was going to say maybe they delayed having Deanna come because they were going to be in New Jersey and it would have been better at the pay-per-view where it's like a more exciting environment or something, but I don't really know.
Something interesting was that there was talk about Deanna Purrazzo coming on board, but also there was a lot of speculation that Mercedes Moné was going to be at this show, becoming All Elite, which obviously didn't happen. But I wonder if it still will.
Ooh, I hope so. I mean, Trinity is going back to WWE, so you know it's possible that Mercedes goes back. I really hope she goes to AEW though.
Well, they were in talks at with her at WWE, but then I think that fell apart from what I read.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe the fact that AEW is so shit with their women's division makes all of these great wrestlers be like, you know what? I'd rather be booked better and have more matches. So I'll go to WWE.
Well, it's possible, though, that with Monet's leverage, she would make that happen at AEW.
I mean, I would fucking love it if they got somebody in there that could help with that.
Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, 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 ding-ding-ding.